Good morning. We have obviously been covering the flooding in Pakistan for 3 weeks here on The Takeaway, and they say that the storm has moved on over into the Arabian Sea, but the flooding is continuing there. Thousands more people were forced from their homes as floodwaters surged deeper into the country. 5 million have been displaced, as I said. Almost 1 million Pakistanis are now contracting what everyone feared they would contract, which is diseases related to contaminated water. And this comes at a time when perhaps, if anything could make the disaster harder, it is because it's happening during the holy month of Ramadan, when Muslims from around the world fast during daylight hours. They break their fast at sunset with a meeting called Iftar. Todd, nobody's saying that there's a good time to have a disaster, but clearly at a time when people are trying to reserve holy rites, it makes it a little more difficult.
Well, talk about an event that tests your faith.
Absolutely.
You know, especially during a holy month.
Well, we're here with BBC's South Asia Online editor, Ilyas Khan. He's Pakistani and is observing Ramadan there in Pakistan. Good morning.
Good morning, yeah.
Let me begin with you and kind of ask you, your hometown is in a region that's been particularly hard hit by the flooding. Were you able to get back to your hometown?
Yes. Initially, when the flood reports came in, the region that was hit was the Peshawar Valley region, which is my native region. This is a region in which, the Kabul River flows right through the middle of Peshawar Valley, and the Indus River joins it at the tip of the Peshawar Valley region. So, yes, it was pretty badly hit. It was cut off. Peshawar City, which was a regional capital, which was cut off from the rest of the country for 3 days initially. But then, the government has been able to, the government as well as the businessmen of the area have been able to restore some of the road links. It is still in pretty bad shape, but most of the areas are connected now.
And let me just ask you about how does one go about observing Ramadan during a time when you're displaced? So many people are living in camps. I mean, how does that work?
Well, actually, traditionally, people in the Khyber, in the northwest of Pakistan, although I wouldn't describe them as politically conservative people, because these are the people who have time and again voted for political parties which are secular in their ideology. But when it comes to religion, and especially when it comes to fasting, these people have always been very steadfast, and they are known as construction workers all over Pakistan, and seeing them working, digging ditches in a hot place like Karachi, during the month of Ramadan, they have been doing it. So they are quite used to the idea of fasting in very hard conditions, and they are still doing it. I know that there are very large numbers of people elsewhere in the country who may not be able to fast, but people in the northwest are doing it. And the other thing is that most of these people have been taken in by the neighbors and the relatives. There are around 2 million people at least have been affected, along the banks of Kabul River. Now, very few of them have actually gone into the camps. Food is also available in the camps, so people who are living in the camps are also able to fast.
So when they're able to eat after the sun goes down, that's the BBC's Ilyas Khan speaking to us from Islamabad. Let's turn now to Dr. Zahir Chowdhury. He's the president of the American Islamic Society of Delaware Valley. And I understand you came to the U.S. from Pakistan in 1974. We were told by another guest on the show that this is a particularly hard time to raise money for the flooding in Pakistan, because this is the time when many Islamic communities are doing their big fundraising pushes for their own community needs.
That is correct, Celeste. This is the time of giving. As you know, the holy month of Ramadan, Muslims are very generous in giving their donations. And traditionally, this is the time for Islamic organizations to get funds for their yearly funding. And unfortunately, the flooding came at a very inappropriate time. But the funny thing is that all these Islamic societies who are eventually going to have a little bit of a loss this year are leading that drive for the fundraisers. All the communities, all the areas that I know of, Islamic societies and Islamic centers are getting together for the fundraisers. And they are doing a tremendous job. Just the other night in my own community, we had a fundraiser where four mosques got together, and we were able to raise $95,000 in about an hour and a half.
Well, let me play you a comment from Ramia Ahmed from the Islamic Relief USA organization. And she says it's actually a blessing that this tragedy occurred during Ramadan.
The energy level and the commitment of the community to help is heightened in the blessed month of Ramadan. It's a sad tragedy that it did happen and so many people's lives have been affected. But if it was going to happen, it is a blessing that it happened in the month of Ramadan because people are in a generous spirit anyway. You know, they are encouraged to give during Ramadan. And then people are fasting as well. So they are in a state where they can empathize with people who are hungry and who are in need of help.
It sounds like you agree with Rabia Ahmed. Is this going to leave other areas of other Muslim charities short if this money is redirected to Pakistan?
No, I agree with her, and I don't think there's going to be any shortage. I think people are going to be very generous at this time because they know the need is there. The need is in Pakistan, and the need is here also. The Islamic centers here need the money for their yearly budgets. So I don't think there's going to be any shortage of money. People are going to be much more generous this year.
That's Dr. Zaheer Chowdhury, president of the American Islamic Society of Delaware Valley. Ilyas Khan, one quick question for you at the end. Is there any sense among the Pakistani people that aid from around the world, aid money, is finally reaching them?
Actually, as far as food is concerned, food was available right from the day one because I told you that, the neighboring villages, they were the ones who took in these people and they've been providing food. Help, yes, now, belatedly. Like for example, a lot of communities, they're still trapped. They're cut off from the rest of the country up in the northwest.
Yeah.
Now, those people are now being evacuated by the American helicopters.
And hopefully being brought to food and shelter. That's Ilyas Khan. He's the BBC South Asia online reporter speaking to us from Islamabad.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.